Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic DNB ideas that instantly makes a loop feel alive, a call and response bass riff, shaped with macro controls, then printed with resampling so we can chop it up jungle style in Ableton Live 12. This is an intermediate session, so we're not just making a bass sound, we're building a little performance system. That's the key idea here. Instead of drawing endless automation by hand, we'll map a few important controls to macros, play those controls musically, and then resample the result into audio so we can edit it like a real old-school jungle session. First, set your project up around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want a solid center point, 172 BPM is perfect. Create a two-bar loop before you even think about the bass. Get the drums moving. In jungle and drum and bass, the break is part of the conversation. It's not just background, it's answering the bass. So lay down a chopped break, or build one with drum rack and simpler. Keep the classic snare energy on 2 and 4, then let the break fragments and ghost notes bounce around that framework. If the break feels muddy, use EQ8 to gently clean up some low mid buildup, maybe somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. A touch of drum bus on the drum bus can help too, but don't crush it. You want the drums punchy and alive, not flattened. Now let's build the bass. Make an instrument rack with two chains. One chain is your sub, and the other is your mid-bass. Keep those rolls separate, because that's where the power comes from. For the sub-chain, use something simple like operator with a sine wave or a very clean analog patch. Keep it mono. Keep it stable. Don't widen it. If the sub vanishes on smaller speakers, you can add a tiny bit of saturator, but only a light touch. The sub is the foundation. It should feel solid, not flashy. For the mid-chain, use wavitable or operator with a richer tone. Saw waves, a little detune, maybe a modest unison setting. This is where the reese or growl character lives. Add some saturation or overdrive for edge, then follow it with auto filter so you have movement to play with. The important thing is to separate weight from personality. The low end carries the body, the mid layer carries the attitude. Now group those devices into an instrument rack and map the most useful things to macros. This is where it starts to feel like a playable instrument. A really good starting set is something like this. Sub-level, mid-level, filter cutoff, resonance, drive, width, LFO amount or rate, and maybe a delay send for occasional throws. You don't need every macro to do something wild. In fact, the best results usually come from just a few strong gestures. Think of your macros like a performance controller. One macro can be your call, opening the filter and making the sound feel more present. Another can be your answer, pushing the drive and resonance a little harder. A third can add a rude edge, and maybe one more gives you a short echo trail at the end of a phrase. The goal is musical contrast, not chaos. Now write a simple two-bar MIDI phrase. Keep it sparse. That's important. In jungle, space is groove. A lot of beginners fill every beat, and then the break has nowhere to breathe. Try a phrase that lands on beat 1, maybe another short note on the offbeat or on beat 3, and then a small variation in bar 2. Use the root, fifth, minor third, or octave. If you want a little old-school tension, slip in a semitone movement on the response. Keep the rhythm doing the heavy lifting. A good way to think about it is this. Bar 1 asks the question, bar 2 answers it. The answer does not have to be huge. Sometimes the difference is just a little more filter openness, a different note length, a tiny octave jump, or a short delay throw. That's enough to make it feel like the sound is talking back. Now start performing the macros across the phrase. In bar 1, keep the sound a bit tighter and more closed. In bar 2, open the filter more, add a bit of drive, maybe push the resonance slightly, and let the mid layer speak louder. If you want a more aggressive reply, let the response note hit with a little extra saturation or a quick delay tail. Keep the movements intentional. A few repeatable gestures are better than trying to automate everything. This is where resampling comes in. Create a new audio track. Set the input to resampling, arm it, and record your bass performance for 4 to 8 bars. Print a few versions if you can. One clean, one more aggressive, one with extra movement. This is a huge DNB workflow advantage. A lot of the groove comes from tiny live feeling changes that are annoying to recreate manually after the fact. When you print it, you can edit the exact best moments. If the resample feels flat, that usually means the performance didn't change enough over time. Listen back and make sure there's at least one obvious lift moment in the phrase. Maybe the filter opens up, Maybe the drive increases, maybe the response gets a little more rude. You want the audio to feel authored, not just looped. Once you have a good resampled take, slice it. Drag it into a new audio track or into simpler. Trim the silence tightly. Keep the strongest transient of each note. If there are clicks, crossfade them out. And don't be afraid to turn one printed phrase into several edits. One clean call, one heavier response, one little transition hit. That alone can carry a lot of arrangement. This is where the old school jungle feel really starts to show. You can take the first phrase as the call, then chop the second phrase and move it slightly late or early for the response. You can even reverse a tiny tail to create a little pre-hit swell. Those imperfect, chopped details are what make it feel human and alive. Now let the drums and bass answer each other. Add a break fill before the response. Maybe a couple of ghost notes, a tiny cymbal hit, or a filter drum loop leading into the next section. If the bass and break are fighting, mute the bass and listen to the drums alone. If the break already has a lot of syncopation, simplify the bass rhythm instead of forcing more notes into the gap. That's a pro move. Let the groove breathe. From here, start thinking in arrangement blocks. Use the same resampled material across sections, but change the context. Intro with drums and bass hints. First drop with the full call and response. Switch up with the call stripped back and the response emphasized. Second drop with a more aggressive resample or an octave twist. Outro with a DJ-friendly drum exit. A really strong trick is to change just one macro state every 8 or 16 bars. Maybe the intro is restrained, the first drop is medium intensity, and the second drop opens up more drive and more bite. That way the track feels like it's evolving, not just looping. For darker or heavier DNB, keep the low end clean and use small, precise filter moves. Don't overdo resonance. If the bass starts sounding nasal or whistle y, back it off. If you want more movement, try slight pitch motion on the response, not the call. And if you need more texture, do a second resample pass with a bit more drive, then blend that quietly under the main print. A good habit is to name or color your clips in a simple way, like call A, call B, response A, response B. That makes editing much faster later on, especially when you're choosing between printed variations. And one last teacher tip. If you're not sure whether a resampled phrase is usable, loop just the last half bar. A lot of the best jungle material lives right in that transition zone. That's where the energy flips. So the big takeaway is this. You are not just designing a bass patch. You are designing a bass performance. Use macros like a live instrument. Keep the sub mono. Let the mid layer carry the personality. Resample the movement. Then cut it into phrases that talk to the drums. That's how you get that old school jungle call and response energy, with enough movement to stay exciting and enough control to work in a real drop. Now it's your turn. Build a two-bar riff. Map at least four macros. Perform a clear call and response, print it, and slice out the best moments. If you do it right, you'll end up with a loop that feels like it's already halfway to a full track.